This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Do we need a 75 hard update from Smalls?
What's the update? We're 4 for 4.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, 4
so
for
you're
four.
Doing this workout challenge. You all right?
Well, she said we're 4 for 4, and all I can think of is 71 more days to go.
Is that not all?
Right? It's just like,
is okay. That all?
Is that it?
It's multiple workouts outside, a strict diet, pictures, progress, reading. That to me is the hard part.
That's what's tipping you
the
over.
The reading. Oh,
yeah. 10 pages a day.
Oh, God.
I'm reading a book right now on longevity. Pretty scary.
Why?
Because it's basically like, everything you're doing is not helping your lifespan.
Great.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Ignorance is
all right, give us that.
I kind of want to know. Hold on.
That was exactly what I thought, CeCe. I was like, why am I reading this? I would rather just not know.
I would rather not know.
I would just rather not know.
Wait, but what are we doing wrong? You can't open this up and not tell the people what we're doing wrong.
Well, there's several things, and I'm only at a certain point in the book, but you need to be lifting weights. That's one thing that they really highlight. Strength training, very important for bone density, especially as you age. I am a very weak person. I do not lift weights. So I'm reading this being like, oh, all this cardio that I'm doing is actually not going to help me in any way long term. Because basically the book is saying you get to a certain point in your life where you retire and you want to be able to enjoy your life, but that's when you really start to physically erode and you can't do the things that you want to do in retirement. So they're giving you tools to help your body be able to enjoy those buffer years of your life before you really become an elderly person. And
retirement.
Yeah, cardio's not good
for you. I got an out.
Cardio's not great.
I got an out. I have no interest in retiring.
I have an out. I'm never going to be able to afford to retire.
Oh my gosh, so morbid.
Well, I'm just saying. So there's my out.
Strength training. That's what
I don't have to lift weights.
Exactly.
Nuno knows. Nuno knows what's up. He's our fitness guru here on the show. He knows about strength training.
Yeah, nutritionists will tell you that once you start losing weight and start getting healthy, that you really shouldn't focus on cardio. It is all about strength training, and you don't have to worry about or be intimidated. Like, most gyms are safe spaces, no matter, even though what you see.
I don't agree with that.
Even though what you see, influencers and all that type of stuff. But you should add some straight training to it.
I went to F45 yesterday, which is a circuit HIIT workout basically with weights. And I told the instructor straight up, I was like, I am weak. You have to give me the lightest amount possible. And he did, and I still couldn't pick it up. And he was like, okay, we will adjust. They find ways to adjust for you.
There was a controversial statement that was just made that I'd like to revisit here.
What's that?
You're telling me you believe that gyms are safe spaces?
No.
I don't believe that either.
Why?
Well, and maybe only in my head, but I believe if I were to go to a gym, everyone is judging me.
No, you're judging yourself.
Yeah, that's all.
Well, that's
this
worse.
Is a you. This
I know.
Is, this is a you problem.
What? Listen, when I go to the gym, I'm not worried about anybody else. I'm trying to do what I need to do and then get out of there. I'm worried about what podcast is on and my headphones or the music, and I'm worried about getting through this workout.
I'm kind of with Evan though, because like if I go to a gym now,
well,
and
yeah, I'm judging
work,
you.
And I try
I'm
to
judging
work,
you. Hold on, judge I am me. Judging
like,
you.
This guy played in the NFL. Yeah. Really?
I mean, yeah. I'm judging you.
Slop. You're in a different this situation. Guy, you're in
no,
a different
no,
situation.
No, one of the Giants didn't win more. This guy.
Stop.
This guy.
Yeah, we see offensive linemen lose all this weight and be transformed, and then like,
jeez,
what? Wow.
That's what a judgmental person would say.
Just going to say, because he's tall, you notice him. Nuno.
This is what Nuno has been thinking about me all this time.
So basically, here's
this
what it is.
Exactly.
Candy's on his health grind, no coffee, he's eating right.
As I have the coffee cup right here. No coffee.
No gummy bears or anything?
Come on, Pat.
I said you're not eating gummy bears. You're welcome. You're not eating them.
I'm trying to protect you here.
Good job not eating gummy bears. That's what I'm saying.
I didn't see anything.
You're not. Wow. I'm saying you're not doing that.
Wow, Pat is.
There are a lot of moments
right
that like almost cross the line. You just may have really crossed the line because now you're.
I did. Nuno called him fat.
That's true.
Don't use that.
No, I did not.
I feel like I need to go talk to HR after the show.
Or Evan, the last segment two segments ago, talking about there's guys on this show that don't know who their boss is.
That's not what I said.
Nuno, that is the biggest case of whataboutism I've ever seen.
What
Evan did last hour? You just called me fat. You body shamed me. And then you say, what about Evan saying these guys don't know our boss?
And I never said that.
Like, that's the same thing, Nuno. You just called me fat.
I didn't call you fat.
What did you say?
You said you're not said like the offensive lineman who gets skinny.
I'm trying to motivate you, Canty. I'm trying to motivate you. Yeah,
motivate him.
No, here's what it is.
Motivating me by body shaming me. Thank you, Nuno.
Here's what it is.
Thank you.
This is what Nuno
interesting
did.
Interesting approach.
This is what Nuno did.
By the way, he still has a Colta visit, I think, coming his way. Yeah. I wouldn't want to agitate
you. How has Mark Jones
you?
Been on our show?
Yeah. I actually do need it. My body is sore.
He's going to need that Colta after I exact physical violence upon him.
So Nuno basically said this, and he's denying it. He basically said, so you know friend of show Joe Thomas, Hall of Famer, you know how he got really thin and in shape? Why don't you do that, CC?
Jeff Saturday looks great when he shows up on our show. Woody's been back on that diet, right?
Wow. Like I'm just everybody's saying. Body is different, Nuno. Wow.
That's right.
Everybody gets fit and in shape in their own time. I'm not. You can't put me on the same timeline as anybody else.
Yeah, my journey's been three and a half years, and it's still going. Every day, it's a battle.
See, this is the problem.
Yeah, but nobody is shaming you. People are encouraging you.
I mean, I kind of shame him. I kind of do.
Pat does.
But I don't do that, Nuno. So why are you doing that to me?
When Pat gets out of line.
Is it because Pat punches down on you, you feel like you got to punch down on somebody
else?
When
Pat gets out of line, he's like, yeah, I'm not afraid of you. You ain't fat anymore. And I'm just
like you're skinny Nuno now. I'm not afraid of you anymore.
Wow.
I was afraid of fat Nuno.
I think I'd be more afraid of skinny Nuno because he's been in the gym. He's been lifting weights.
Well, two things have been accomplished. Number one, Pat found a way out of the fact about outing the gummy bears. And number two, we have gone away from your accomplishments with 75 hard.
Well, it's only 4 days. I wouldn't call it an accomplishment.
Well, I think it is. I couldn't do one day.
So.
Yeah. The reading. It's a little much for
me. That's really what would trip you up is the
reading and the pictures.
No, you know the hardest part by far is drinking a gallon of water.
That's the hardest part. Yeah.
Really? I am chugging water.
Can you flavor
all day,
it like with the electrolytes?
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, you can.
Yeah. Okay. I put in minerals and chlorophyll into my water. Okay. Don't ask. I read about it.
Okay. Chlorophyll?
Yeah, it's supposed to be good for you. Anyway.
Isn't that the stuff they use in movies to like kidnap people?
That's what I thought.
That's chloroform.
I got to be honest. That's exactly where I went.
Wow. Wow. So I was thinking the stuff in plans, but that was just me.
You think I'm actively drugging myself?
I got to be fair.
I just want to pass out.
Wait a minute. Did you the other day tell us you duct tape yourself when you go to sleep or some weird thing?
Yeah. Mouth tape.
Mouth tape.
It's in for 2024. It works.
Kidnapping starter kit. By Michelle Smallman.
I have to own it. When Nuno said that, that's exactly what I was thinking also.
No, it's antioxidants. It's good for your body.
Okay. I think of Billy Madison when he's like, chlorophyll, more like borophyll.
No, I didn't think that.
Chloroform and duct tape. Oh, my God.
Mouth tape, I sent it to the group chat. Do not knock it until you've tried it.
Oh, my God.
The first 3-4 months of this show, I was not sleeping at all. And I decided to take my sleep very seriously. And I've gotten into a routine. Mouth tape is involved. You guys should get on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. There's an interesting question that we have on our rundown for today that is fascinating. It's amazing because the free agency period in the NFL has not started yet. Yet we are asking the question as to which NFL team season is already over before it starts. Now, I want to preface this. I don't think we should be allowed to answer this question that Nuno put on our rundown here with a team that stinks. That we know, like, Carolina's not going anywhere this year. Offense. It has to be a team that, like, some people may think is going somewhere.
So, outside of Carolina, who is the only other team you put in that category?
Maybe Tennessee.
Tennessee, the Patriots, I was going to say.
Patriots, Washington.
I don't know about Washington.
Okay, all right, so then give us an answer here. The NFL team season that's already over, CC, before it even starts.
Oh, it's easy. The team that I'm wearing a sweatshirt for, the New York Giants, their season's over with. Giants ain't doing nothing this year. What are the Giants accomplishing? They got a head coach and a GM that don't like the quarterback, but that are going to be forced to rock with him because the owner loves him.
Great.
Like, so, I mean, that's let's start there. Mm-hmm. They're not bringing back Saquon Barkley, or at least it doesn't seem like they're going to bring back Saquon Barkley. They're not franchise tagging him. They haven't been in a hurry to try to extend him. So there's that. I mean, outside of that, are you afraid of any other weapons that they have on the offensive side of the ball? No. I mean, defensively, it's a work in progress. You got Kayvon Thibodeau and Deontay Banks, but not a whole lot else. Well, Xavier McKinney is a free agent. We don't know what's going to happen to him. You traded away Leonard Williams. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what are the Giants going to be? What are they going to be? The season's over. They're not close to Philadelphia. They're not close to Dallas. They're not close to any of these other playoff teams in the NFC. Their season's over with before it even starts.
Can teams retract team-issued gear? Can they get it back?
No.
Okay. I'm
just no,
curious.
But my key card doesn't work. I guess this is the reason why.
I know this
sometimes
getup.
Keeping it real can go wrong, and this is an example of it.
Yeah.
I know this getup you have on today. That's when you're a player, they give it to you, correct?
Yeah, this is
looks
team
so
issue.
So comfortable.
Yeah. For now.
Until they take it back.
Yeah. Smalls, you got a team?
Oh, man. Well, we took a lot off the board. I'm apprehensive about going here, but I think I'm going to have to do it. I think the New York Jets season is over before they even start. And I know a healthy Aaron Rodgers certainly changes the dynamics of things, but the fact that they know so many components of what happened last year didn't work and they're rolling it back leads me to believe that even with a healthy eight out on the field, that we're not going to really elicit many different results.
It like wouldn't surprise me. I mean,
like,
I think it's a much riskier pick, obviously, than maybe most. But that's a fascinating one. Correct me if you think that this doesn't fit into the category. Like if it's not bold enough, like you know, more towards the Panthers. But I would say the Denver Broncos.
That was my next pick.
I just like what are they doing exactly? I think there's actually an argument they should have kept Russell Wilson and done everything in their power to say to him, you're going to be our starter. We just need you to restructure.
He's not going to restructure, though.
Well, but then maybe it would have actually been better to just keep him as the starter. I know that they were never going to
do that.
But
I mean,
what are they doing?
But if he stayed on the team through the fifth day of the new league year, which starts next week, then they would have had to guarantee tens of millions of dollars for 2025.
For the next year. Yep.
Yeah,
I understand.
There's no way he's worth it.
I just don't know that I look at them and think that they have any obvious current
plan. They don't.
You could say drafting a quarterback.
That's what makes
not
the Russell Wilson deal so bad, though. That's what makes it so bad, is that if this didn't work out, it was always going to be awful in the aftermath. And so now they're having to deal with that while paying Sean Payton $18 million a year. Yeah, it's not great. But I think this is another one of those years where they take a step back to try to take two forward in 2025. They're going to deal with the cap hit. They're going to deal with, you know, all of the other
Release player Justin Simmons all
other fallout with all of the players that they're going to have to release, the veteran guys like Justin Simmons. Like, they're going to have to deal with all of that this year. And so Evan might be on to something and saying that their season is over with before it starts. Also got to consider Jim Harbaugh's in the division now.
That's the other part
Jim Harbaugh's in the division. I mean, there's a lot of optimism around Antonio Pierce with the Raiders.
Big
so, like, when you start to look at it, you're like, yeah, I could see a world where the Denver Broncos are at the bottom of the division looking up at every other team in the AFC West.
And I think they should actually lean into it and tank. I think they should absolutely lean into it. I think they should
just take the full
Jerry Judy, Cortland Sutton, Patrick Surtain, like everyone.
No, I can't get rid of Surtain.
Well, I'm saying they have to.
I can't get rid of that one.
They have to consider. They have to. They're going nowhere, and they actually have pieces that are not going to be as valuable as obviously what they gave up to get Russ, but they can get something back.
Didn't you think that the Vikings should kind of do something similar?
I think they have without people recognizing it. I think they've been brilliant. The Vikings actually tore off a lot of pieces that people don't realize, and they're still competitive. And they may do it again with Kirk Cousins and still be competitive. Eric Kendricks was there. Dalvin Cook, Madison, Thielen. They've slowly done a lot of this while they're still actually being competitive here. And I don't know where the next quarterback necessarily comes from, but they may be high enough in the draft to try to jump up. I think the Vikings have done it slowly and quietly. Not as drastic as I'm suggesting here with Denver. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe, noon until 3 Eastern time, ESPN Bet, gives himself names, right, when he's doing his different bets on ESPN Bet?
Yeah.
Right?
Prop Joe? Isn't that one of them?
Joey Pucks, right?
So when he's in Miami for the UFC, Joe Fortenbaugh, what is the name you have given yourself now? Is it Miami Joe? What are we looking at here for the new name for you on this one?
No, it's always based on the sport, ladies and gentlemen, based on the sport. So this is Joey Cage side. Anything UFC related, Joey Cage side in the house, you'd be thrilled. You don't have a visual today, but I'm getting ready to roll over to Casilla Center in just a moment. Hotel's right across the street. Bright pink shirt, cream colored jacket, Don Johnson special. Crockett and Tubbs, baby. That's how we're doing it.
I thought it might have been Pepto, Joe, after you told all of us that you had airport tuna yesterday before your flight down to Miami.
No.
I'm just saying. Oh, questionable decision by you, Joe. Very questionable.
Number one, that airport tuna settled in quite nicely. No problems there. Right. Number two, the airport tuna was tied into the Denver Nuggets taking care of business against the Celtics last night. So everything was coming up aces for your boy. That being said, now we flip the calendar to Friday and Saturday. Complete disaster potentially on the horizon.
Why is that?
Yeah, why?
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to run hot every day of your life? The way it works for me generally, and this is a very, you know, symbolic during football season, if I'm running hot in college football, I'm giving it all back to the NFL the next day. If I'm running hot in the NFL, that means I'm struggling on Saturdays and I'm chasing my money on Sundays. So if I had a very nice Thursday, which I did, flights were on time, hotel accommodations are all set up, everything going great, Nuggets end up taking care of the Celtics, I'm walking on eggshells today, boys and girls. I'm walking on eggshells.
Well, I'm not surprised your flights are going well. Based on some of the pictures I've seen of you, you are part of the Aviator Nation, are you not?
Aviator. Oh, yeah. Well, that was
he's always wearing Aviator Nation sweatshirts, this guy, which are like at least $250 a pop.
My wife is in charge of stuff like that. If you see, that was, I believe, a Christmas gift, and I opened it up and I'm like, what is this? It's a full-on sweatsuit. She's like, yeah, this is really popular. I go, you think I'm gonna wear a full-on sweatsuit? She goes, no. She's like, guys are doing this, everyone's doing this, it's very popular. I wear the sweatpants at home. I wear the top out. I do not combine them for anybody.
Okay. It's very comfortable. Well, Joe, if you were going to try to chase that high of things going right, what's a play that you have for us this weekend? Where would you go?
Look at you just trying to shove me over the cliff, Smalls. Just trying to shove me right over that cliff.
No, I'm trying to keep the positive vibes going, Joe.
Yeah, I see ya. All right, we could start with a little NBA tonight. We can get into the UFC card tomorrow if you guys would like. But I think there's a few spots in the NBA that are worth exploring. Milwaukee's laying a point at the Lakers tonight. The Lakers are one of the most overvalued teams in the NFL. There's this assumption they're good. We're always talking about them in terms of, you know, are they going to turn the corner? Are they going to compete for a title? They're not competing for a title. Like, can we stop that? The idea that they're going to have to run hot over the next 20-plus games. Like, they need to go balls to the wall the rest of the season just to get into the damn playoffs. Then they need to survive the play-in. Then you're telling me they're going to win 4 out of 7 against good teams 4 series in a row? Like, you can miss me with that. All while everyone stays healthy? Okay. So I look at that game tonight. Keep in mind, the Lakers this year have covered the spread 28 times. That's the same amount of times the Wizards have covered the spread, okay? There's only 4 teams that have covered the spread fewer times. Bucks off a loss. I like the bounce back here. Number two, I would take the Knicks plus the 1.5 over the Magic tonight. Nobody loves the Magic more than I do these days. I've been riding this train. I got a bunch of futures plays on them for win totals, winning the division, all that good stuff. But a lot of it's predicated on how weak the schedule's been. They've come off the break, and they're 7-1. 6 of those wins, 2 against Detroit, 1 against Brooklyn, 1 against Utah, 1 against Charlotte, 1 against Washington. Mm. They haven't played anybody. But because they're 7-1 off the break, now everyone thinks they're hot, so they're laying points on the road against the Knicks at the Garden on a Friday night. Not a good spot, not a good price. I'll take the Knicks there. And then finally, that Pelicans-Sixers game tonight, I play the Pelicans in the first half. It's -4.5. So whatever happens in the second half doesn't matter to this bet. It's just a first half bet. Pelicans are the second best first half team in the entire NBA this season. People are sleeping on them. Kendrick Perkins finally started talking about how these guys could be a sleeper in the West. 11-4 over their last 15 games. Number 6 in defensive efficiency. Number 5 in point differential. They're a really good team, but no one's really paying attention. Sixers are all banged up. Maxey's out again. So I like the Pelicans to jump all over them, -4.5 in the first half.
Joe, we were kicking around the conversation around NBA MVP. Nikola Jokic is the odds-on favorite right now at -140. But right behind him is SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, with OKC, and he's at +220. Is it a sucker's bet to put money on SGA, or is that good value?
No, I don't think so, because number one, his team is really good. That's one of the key criteria here. Like, you want to have teams that have high seedings. Very rarely does this come from a 5 or a 6 seed. Russell Westbrook won it as a 6 seed years ago because he averaged a triple-double. Everyone was enamored with the stats, which play a big part in this voting process. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. On top of it, SGA, when you want to talk stats, I mean, what is it, like 42 or 43 games this season, he's gone for 30-plus points? He's got stats for days. He can put big numbers out there. So I don't think that's the end of the world at all. The problem is Jokic didn't get it last year. And I think there's some buyer's remorse and a little bit of shame for some of the voters, because they sat there, they were overwhelmed by Embiid over the last couple weeks of the season. They gave Embiid the award, and then the playoffs started, and Embiid, like usual, went right into the tank, whereas Jokic went on to win the title in spectacular fashion, showing everyone he truly was the MVP. So I think some of those voters are going to have to think to themselves, you know, are we going to do this again to this guy, especially after what we watched him do against Boston last night? It's just one game, but that's a finals preview. And Jokic shows up huge, and Tatum's nowhere to be found. I mean, that's how we define value. So I don't think it's a bad bet on SGA, but it's going to be tough to overcome Jokic.
Talking with Joe Fortenbaugh, ESPN bet analyst. Carlin versus Joe, noon until 3 Eastern time here on ESPN Radio. We've got UFC 299, Sean O'Malley, Marlon Vera, 2 at 10 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Prelims, 8 p.m., ESPN News, ESPN Plus. Joe, let's finish with this. Mike Tyson, Jake Paul. In or out on it, and would you be excited to bet it if we're even allowed to bet that? Is that legal to bet? Is that like sanctioned that way to bet? I don't even know.
I'm sure we'll have something on it. Everything Paul's had so far has offered prices, and there's no point in doing this if we can't bet it, because everyone's going to want to bet an over-under, or everyone's going to want to take a side. You got to be careful with some of these. Last time we saw Tyson in an exhibition, it was on a Jake Paul card. Jake Paul knocked out Nate Robinson on the undercard of that fight. Tyson went the distance against Roy Jones Jr. Now, if Tyson wanted to put him down, he couldn't put him down in that fight. But Tyson went in, and, you know, they were putting on a show. They were having a glorified exhibition, and he carried him the distance. That's what worries me here. That's what worries me. Because we've seen the Tyson workout videos. He can get in there at 60 years old and knock this kid out, and he can do it no problem. And I would love to see that, and I would love to bet that. But I'm concerned that he's going to carry him the distance, and they're all going to make money off it. And that right there is problematic to me, because we're going to try to handicap this one way, and this fight could go a completely different way. So I'd be looking for an over-under. If you believe that Tyson's going to carry him, they'll put an over-under out there, and you might want to bet the over. You know, maybe Tyson takes him the distance, or maybe Tyson tries to finish him off like in the last round. But if you remember, Floyd Mayweather carried Logan Paul, Jake's older brother. He carried him like, what, 9 or 10 rounds, whatever that was? Yeah. That's ridiculous. Floyd could have knocked him out right away, and he carried him the distance. So you got to be very careful with these fights. But yeah, to answer your original question, of course I'm going to bet it. I just don't know how yet.
Joe, have fun in Miami. Say hi to the 3 banners with the championships there in the arena for me.
Ooh.
I'll be sure to. It's a beautiful arena. Beautiful arena. You guys are the best. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, there's Joe Fortenbaugh, ESPN bet analyst. Carlin versus Joe, noon until 3 Eastern time. I'm oddly into this Mike Tyson, Jake Paul.
I just don't understand why you would get in the ring with Mike Tyson.
I don't know either.
I don't understand.
Jake like Paul's going to win. What are you talking about?
Okay. All right.
Mike Tyson's old. He can barely walk.
Okay.
Jake Paul, if Jake Paul wants to win, he's going to win.
If Jake Paul wants to win, he's going to, like, meaning it's fixed?
Yeah, if he doesn't want to carry him the distance, he's going to win.
So are you suggesting it's going to be fixed, Pat?
It could be.
We're on Sportsman.
You can fight people, but you can't fight crazy, and Mike Tyson is crazy.
Bet somebody zero.
Yeah, right.
That's the least of the crazy things he's probably done in his life.
That's what I'm saying.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
NFL free agency getting going next week. Players are getting released. Some players that have been released are getting signed. Draft around the corner as well. Amy Trask is the former Raiders CEO, CBS Sports, and she joins us now in here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Amy, let's start with this. What is this time of year like for you guys as the CEO when you're balancing the spreadsheets and trying to figure out who to cut, who to keep? Walk us through the next 3 days in a typical world in the NFL.
I don't know that there is a typical world, and I say that not to be difficult, although I have always been told throughout my life I was that difficult child. It's different for each of the 32 teams, and the reason I note that is, well, for several reasons. There's cap issues with which some teams are struggling, notwithstanding that the cap went up so much this year. There are also cash issues, which are more of a priority, more of an issue for some teams than they are for others. Now, we all know that cash flow and annual revenues to teams is to say very substantial, an understatement. Some teams have a tremendous amount of debt sitting on them, on their stadiums. Some teams prioritize cash and cash flow more than others. So I promise not to turn your show into a business analysis show, but we all hear at this time, cap, 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 cap. Cash matters also more so to some teams than to others. And some teams look at the long term in terms of signing players. Some teams take a short term look. I'll stop talking now and let you guys ask more questions. I will simply note that there's also the human element to this week. When you're letting players go, when you're releasing players, when you're cutting players, trading players, moving on from players, you got to remember, these are humans that, you know, are embedded in the community and to some extent, have families in the community, have kids in school in the community. So letting a player go is a big deal, and it's important that teams handle that with compassion.
Amy, you mentioned cash is such a big deal for teams around this time of the calendar for the NFL. Going into free agency next week, what does that look like in terms of teams trying to manage cash issues while they're trying to sign prospective free agents?
A bigger deal for some teams than it is for others. Look, during my years in the league, and I haven't been in the league for a number of years, I've been with CBS Sports, as you noted, but during my years in the league, the gap in annual revenues between the highest revenue club and the lowest revenue club was over $250 million a year. So yes, teams have a lot of cash flow, and yes, there is far, far, far more cash, revenue, cash flow, money now than there was during my years in the league. But there are some teams who are more cash sensitive than others and who will impose stricter spending limits on those who are signing the players than do all the teams.
So does that impact the amount of guaranteed money that teams would offer players in contracts? How does that all work, Amy? I'm just curious.
Well, the fun answer to that is it depends on the owner and it depends on how much he wants the player playing for that team. It sure can impact that. I worked for a team owner who was, if he wanted to sign a player, he was going to find a way to sign that player. And he would look at me and just say, go find the money. You know, I thought, okay, wait, let me get my shovel. I'll go start digging on the practice field and see if I can find another pot of the money. Let me go look under the cushions and see if I can find some more change. But he was not going to be deterred. And I'll tell you, there were times that we entered contracts that other teams around the league, you know, would raise their eyebrows thinking, wow, why'd they do that? But when Al wanted a player, he was going to find a way to get the player. There are other teams that pose more, you know, stricter spending limits on those who are signing their players. But guaranteed contracts are, you know, that guarantee can be a factor in signing a player.
Well, Amy, I want to stick there with the Raiders. As a former Raiders CEO, I wanted to get your perspective on what you think Antonio Pierce will bring as the full-time head coach of the Raiders.
Well, I hope he brings, and I believe he will bring, and I look forward to seeing him bring more of what he brought last year when he took over as interim head coach. We saw it on the field. Those players played like Raiders of yore. There was a passion and a drive, and I'm giving myself goosebumps talking about it when I think of how we saw that team perform for Antonio last year when he took over. There was just... they were Raiders. They were playing like Raiders, and I love to see it.
Well, Amy, of course, we wanted to ask you on International Women's Day, being a very prominent and inspiring woman in sports yourself, just about your journey here in the NFL and in sports in general. How different has it been from the time that you got into the NFL in the late 90s until now? What type of growth have you seen and opportunities for women in sports?
Well, you are very gracious and generous in the way you described me. Thank you. And you're also really, really nice to say that it was in the late 90s. And I'm going to own that because that makes me a lot younger than I really am. So I'm just going to go with that theory from now on. I will note that yesterday, well, never mind, I won't. Someone noted my age yesterday, and I looked at them and said, did you really have to do that? Your question is a great question, so please accept my teasing in the spirit in which I am sharing it with a big smile on my face, which, thank you very much, you can't see right now because you're allowing me to do this by phone only. There's an enormous difference. I started as an intern with the Raiders in the very early 80s, and then I joined the team full-time in the mid-80s, and now I just figured out what your point was. You were absolutely right as to the date. You noted the date at which I became the CEO, so yes, you got it right. That didn't click to me when you first said it. But the point is, when I joined the league, there were no other women in the room. Mm-hmm. I walked into my first league meeting in the 80s. I was the only woman in that room. And now there are a ton of terrific women in the room. And that started changing during my years in the league. Jeannie Bonk with the Chargers, Hannah Gordon, who was with the 49ers, Donna Ponte, who is now with the league office but was with the Miami Dolphins and other teams. That has changed over the years. By the time I was into my career, by the time I was named the CEO, there were other women in the room. So there has been tremendous development. I'm always asked when a woman is hired, am I excited? And the answer is, sure. But what's going to be really exciting is when it's no longer newsworthy, when someone is hired, irrespective of the reason for which they're hired. When people are hired without regard to race, gender, ethnicity, any other individuality which has no bearing whatsoever on whether they can do their job and how well they can do their job, that's going to be truly exciting.
Amy, this offseason, the NFL world is going to revolve around the Chicago Bears. They have the number one overall pick. They went into last offseason with the number one overall pick. What should the Chicago Bears do in order to put the franchise in position to have sustained success?
Well, they obviously have to make the decision, and you're referencing that in your question. They have to make the decision as to whether they are comfortable going forward with Justin or whether they want to make a change. And if they want to make a change, what can they exact from a trading partner in terms of trade collateral? That's the big decision they have to make. Do we have the right man at quarterback, or do we want to trade? And if we trade him, what can we get? And is there someone that we like better that we can get with the first round pick? Because if they were to use, you know, look, they can use that first round pick on another quarterback and trade the quarterback they have. They can decide that the quarterback for whom they would trade may not excite them enough. I'm sorry, the quarterback for whom they can pick may not excite them enough to make that trade. That's a big decision.
Amy, what would you do? Amy, what would you do if you're in that seat? If you are the team president or CEO of the Chicago Bears, what would you do?
If I liked Justin Field enough and I thought he could be our quarterback, I would stick with him. And the reason is this. You can get a lot for that first pick in the draft. I believe you can get more for that first pick in the draft than you can in collateral for trading the quarterback you have. And you can use the collateral, the draft picks you get for that first pick in the draft to build a team around the quarterback you have. And if you think he's your guy, and presumably they may still think he's the guy, get all the picks you can for that pick and build a team around him. Look, the draft's not a science. So get as many picks as you can and build around him.
Amy Trask, former Raiders CEO and now a member of CBS Sports. Thank you so much. We do appreciate your time and your insight.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there she is, Amy Trask, joining us here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. All right, coming up, CC's best bet of the night and unsportsmanlike moments of the day. Next, it's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
Yeah, best bet didn't work out last night. Thanks, Indiana Pacers.
Jeez.
Thank you, Indiana Pacers. I guess it really is Anthony Edwards, though. Like, Anthony Edwards was just phenomenal. So, I mean, didn't work out. I had the Pacers on the money line. Didn't work out. The over-under was there. I had the over-under on total points right, but just didn't work out on the money line for the Indiana Pacers. But we're going to go back to the association tonight, and I'm going to go with your Miami Heat. Second night of a back-to-back on the road against OKC, a game where they should have no business being competitive.
Which
but
means?
The Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat will find a way to be competitive in that situation. They just do. Like, in games they have no business being in, they find a way to be in it. So we're going to go with the Miami Heat. The line is 8.5. We're going to tease that up to 11.5. And we're going to take the Heat plus 11.5, and then we're going to tease up the total points to 227.5. That two-leg parlay plus 157.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
So, for our unsportsmanlike moments, let me take you back to last week before I play the sound with the video on ESPNU of last night. Do you remember that on the Inside the NBA set, Charles, Kenny, Shaq, Adam Lefkoe was there last week, but obviously normally Ernie Johnson. They were talking about Barkley starting an Instagram Instagram account. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And they Shaq gave Charles a suggestion as to how he should tag all of his Instagram posts, right?
Yeah.
With what?
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans.
Okay. Well, there was a follow-up last night because Ernie was back. He was off for a week, and now Ernie's back and, you know, getting caught up on his teammates. Take a listen, courtesy of TNT.
I sit out 1 week, and I come back, and you're on social media?
Stop
is
it,
this true?
It I am
true.
On social media.
Are you really? Are you, like, posting all the time?
I'm not posting all the time. I got to learn how to do that.
Well, that's part of being on social media.
I got to say thanks to Kenny because Shaq You know, I was going to do a OnlyFans, and Shaq's like, Chuck, you got to do that. Because I thought I was only for fans of mine, and Kenneth's like, no, do not ever listen to Shaq.
That's a little bit of a different
It's a different – and then you will have fans. And they will be different types of fans.
Look, do we have
they will have a different expectations of your posts.
Do we have an update on
all right, so there
the
you
trusters.
Go. So Charles has now figured out, I guess,
oh my God.
What OnlyFans is.
Oh, my God.
He thought it was only for your fans, which, I mean, is true.
Technically, it is for fans of you.
Yes.
But like
the
like
expectations
you, like you
may
said,
different.
A different expectation yeah. when people come through.
So I guess Chuck
every
now.
Post, hashtag OnlyFans.
So now
that
he knows
so
what it is.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations to Charles Barkley.
At least he's leaning into it. They're having fun with it.
They are too funny.
They're having fun with it.
All right. Also, yesterday, did you see what happened? I'm going to describe it here with an airplane, I believe, flying out of San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken. This is an airplane that I have to find the details as to where it was going. But as it was in the air, the wheels fell off of the plane.
Yes.
Onto cars that were parked at the airport.
Employee lot at the airport. Yeah. I saw this on the news. It's like how ticked would you be as you check off from work and you're getting ready to go home and your car was smashed by a tire that fell off of an airplane?
How about being on the plane and the tires are falling off?
I think somehow everybody was okay.
Yeah, everybody was okay. They diverted the plane to L.A. and they ended up getting another plane. They were going somewhere in the Indo-Pacific. I don't know exactly where, but that's where they were headed. But I'm just sitting there thinking about it, though. Like, if you're trying to get home from work and you don't have your car because it was smashed from a tire that fell off of an airplane.
You just
that
know that
so
was like
ridiculous.
A bartender who'd been working all day.
Yeah.
Just like,
oh, it's somebody God. Who had a really
thank
rough
God
day.
This is over. Gets to the car. And like, how do you explain that to the insurance company?
a tire fell off a plane.
Tire from a plane hit my car.
And let's be honest, man. If you're working at an airport all day, I mean, people that are in airports aren't necessarily the most polite. People are surly because they're traveling is stressful. You got to deal with those kind of people all day long.
All day long.
You getting ready to leave and go home, and that's what you're faced with?
Mm-mm.
Come on, man.
I could be wrong, and we're going to need somebody to look this up, but I'm pretty sure that former Rockets and Knicks head coach Jeff Van Gundy had something like this happen to him. Nobody was hurt at the Westchester County Airport when he was the coach of the Knicks. That like somehow his car was smashed because something with a plane. I may be wrong on this. I probably should have looked it up before I just threw it out there. But I think something like this happened. But it's interesting. I went to the same place Smalls went to. I'm more worried about the people on the plane than the cars of the people that were in the parking lot because they didn't get hurt. If I'm on a plane and I know the wheels fell off, I am petrified about how the heck are we going to land this plane.
I'm panicking.
This definitely happened with Jeff Van Gundy.
I'm right?
Yeah.
I have problems.
It's not a good week for United, by the way, either, though. I mean, last week they had a plane with fire coming out of one of the engines. They got recorded.
Jeez.
It's not a good week for United.
Every time I turn on the news, it's something happened with a plane. Wheels are falling off. Doors are getting ripped off. What is going on?
When are you guys headed to?
How about when I was on the plane a few weeks ago and we're getting ready to land? They're like, no, nothing to see here. We're just going to divert you from LaGuardia to JFK because it's a longer runway. And oh, by the way, there are going to be fire trucks when you land.
But don't freak out.
But don't freak out because nothing's wrong.
Pat, you got the story here?
Yes, as a plane taxied towards the area, I'm not sure what area, the pilot revved one of the engines in order to turn the plane. The blast sent Van Gundy's car spinning over the top of other cars.
I told you, this happened to Jeff Van Gundy, of course. What year was that?
I think 2000.
So he was in the car.
No. No, right? He wasn't.
No, he wasn't in the car.
It was a Knicks team plane, I think.
He was on, okay.
Because they probably park in, there's a private area at Westchester Airport where I'm sure the Knicks would fly in and out of.
So park by the tarmac.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So Allen Houston's Mercedes was also impacted. Van Gundy, I think, was driving a 95 Civic at that time.
So, I mean, do you have to go through your insurance or do you go through the airport airlines insurance? How does
I don't
that
know.
Work? Because it's like the team plane, the team charter.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
How does that work in terms of terms of getting your car replaced. Exactly, right?
You can't just say ownership. Airlines,
like, look, we
it.
Just showed up to do y'all a solid. Like, yeah. I'm just like, you know, what do we want us to do?
But somebody's got to pay
exactly.
for it.
Somebody got to pay for the
but
car.
You can't, like, it can't be ownership because it's salary cap circumvention. Only the Knicks could actually get in trouble if, like, Dolan bought Allen Houston a new car and, hey, sorry, salary cap circumvention. You didn't budget for that extra 50.
Well, maybe he could get around it by saying, I'm going to buy your old car that went toppled over Jeff Van Gundy's car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm just going to buy your old car, and that way you can take that money and replace it with a new car.
Okay. So there you go.
There we go.
There you go. There's some plane issues.
So somehow ridiculous. With
the 2000 Knicks.
The so wheels ridiculous. Quite literally falling off. Not great.
Not great.
But I'm bummed.
No,
I mean, really,
the
just,
wheels
I
fell off.
Panic.
That literally happened. The wheels fell off.
We'll see if the wheels fall off the actual Knicks this season.
Ooh,
all right, that was a right. bump, right?
Really?
That was it. That
wasn't
was
great. Not
that
great.
They're getting
not
healthy, great. Baby. Mark,
Greeny,
they're getting healthy.
Coming up next, we are on to Monday. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.